So if I keep smiling, you won't know whether I'm nervous or excited. Welcome to the mothers today. Wayne's already told me I'm being politically incorrect. Is that by calling you mothers? They're supposed to be called something else, but I've messed that right up today. So welcome to the mothers. What a privilege I had just a little while back. To be able to just walk down with Willie, to have her with us here today, that's just lovely. It's always a real gift when we get to see our faithful mothers. And it's just so beautiful. Jill mentioned in the prayer room that there's a real mother's heart in this church. Obviously, with our pastor Julie being a mother herself, It's a place of restoration, of healing, of being able to come and be nurtured. And what a great gift that we have here. And I just give honour to all of the ladies in this room today. Whether we like it or not, none of us could be here without mothers. Whether your mother was someone that you were close to or not close to. The fact that she gave you life should be something you treasure. Thanks, Graham. That's all right. Hopefully today will work out really well. Sue and Rosie and the team up the back, we've been sort of trying to keep things together a little bit so that there might be some semblance of order to what we do today. I'm just going to ask Mel just to flick up the screen. So today, if I get a little bit boring, what will happen is the screen will change regularly. There's some beautiful photos from good friends of mine, different people, throughout, so that if I'm boring, you can watch the screen, you'll actually get changes in the pictures. But you can see the title to the message is My Help Comes From the Lord. And I walked into the prayer room one morning with this written on a sheet of paper. And the moment I started to read it, everyone in the room recited it off by heart. And I thought, yes, that's where we need to be in the Lord, where it's not written on a sheet of paper, but it's written on our hearts. And I thought from that, I thought how wonderful it is that we have faithful men and women that are here on a regular basis serving, looking after us and helping to nurture us throughout our walk with Christ. So that comes out of Psalm 121 and the second verse of it. But the beginning is a little bit different. It says, where does my help come from? I'll lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Then in Psalm 18 and 1, it says, I will love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. I didn't put all the scriptures up that are going to come through today, just purely because there's lots of scriptures. If Psalms themselves, I really encourage you, if it's not something that you've grabbed hold of, I encourage you, grab them, all right? I love when Christopher just messaged that he'd spoke earlier about spent time this week in Psalms and Proverbs. We might be able to slow it down, I think, if we can, Mel, so that we can actually enjoy the picture as it comes, not disappears. But Pastor Julie brought a terrific message last week on the fear of the Lord. Not a fear of anxiety and anxiousness, but a reverential fear, a glorious fear, a delightful fear. And if we go to Psalm 112, he says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And today what I want to speak a little bit about, as I say, that my help comes from the Lord, but I'm going to try and cover a couple of areas. Firstly, how we got to get the help, who our God is, and then how it applies to us. So how we got to get to a place where our help can come from the Lord, I'm just going to ask Mel just to play a song for us. As this song comes and plays, I apologise, it is a little bit graphic in one area, but it is on Christ's crucifixion. And if you understand that this song comes from a point of history where man and God are reconciled for the first time since the Garden of Eden. It is the most poignant point of history in mankind. That even today, whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, we are still marked by time that is given glory to either before Christ or after Christ. It is a historical event. Again, it is not some fictional thing. It is the most significant point in the history of mankind. So Mel, if we could just have this song up, please. And just as it washes over you, just take this in.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified and laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the thought of me above all.
Lord, to give you glory, to honor you, to praise you, to acknowledge you. Lord, we delight in your presence. We just love, Father, that you made a way for us. And Lord, that we can gather together in your name, Jesus. We can have the ministry of your Holy Spirit about us. And it's my desire, Lord, that you would move in this place, Father. I know that's your heart, Father, that you want to take us from the miry clay and set our feet firmly on the rock of Jesus Christ. And we give you glory today, Father, that the words I speak, you will give me the strength, Father, to go through to the end, Father, where we can acknowledge you, where hearts will be changed in this room today. Lives will be changed. We will recognize that you are the one, Father, that is the help that we need in this place today. We give you glory today, Jesus. Amen. Like all of you, I come from a mum. Mum is my mum. I'm the eldest son to her. I'm one of four boys and a girl. Like your families, our family is a bit screwed up. As mums, a lot of you have anguish that maybe your kids are in a different place, a different direction to where you thought they should be. My mum goes through that same thing. I had the privilege to be with my dad as he was passing away. And through that period of time, I would get to lay there with him. And one of the last things Dad said to me, he said, "Look, I'm really sorry." He said, "I promised I had things all sorted out." He said, "But I haven't." I said, "Well, that's all right, Dad. That's not a worry." I said, "You know, I've learned a few things. You know, you've passed a bit of information on. I think we'll be right." But he gave me one thing. He said, "Look after your mother." I thought, oh, my goodness. He was a mighty man, my dad, to be able to look after my mum. She's not an easy woman to look after. But then on top of that, like families, as I said, I've got brothers. I've got a sister. I have nephews and nieces. The good thing about family is sometimes, or a lot of the time, we get to live separate. You know, they're not really, you know, part of everything we do. But when your dad says to you, "Look after your mum," well, then that includes your brothers, your sister, your nephews, your nieces, everyone else that comes into the picture. Family, friends, acquaintances, all of these things, and the accumulation of years. So it hasn't been the easy hunky-dory road I thought it was. But it has given me an empathy for you mums, especially for those of you whose children aren't quite where you want them to be. Is that it's not easy. Is that, you know, when drugs get involved, or when there's addictions, or, you know, when there's finances, or whatever it might be, is where do you go? Where is your help? Is the world doesn't have the answers. It's not giving you. I'm watching nephews and nieces going through all sorts of horrible things, and the world does not have the answers for them. It's not helping them. It's not pulling them up out of the miry clay and setting their feet on a firm foundation. It's not doing those things. So as mums today, I encourage you, take hold of this word that's on the screen. My help comes from the Lord. We've just watched there that the point of entry to heaven is a strange thing. It's in death. And we saw that Jesus' death is the beginning of everything that we need to apply to our lives. crucified on a cross, rejected, despised. But for each one of us, as we come to him, all right, because that's where the second death is required, the second death to ourselves, to lay down and die to self and fully embrace what Jesus Christ wants to do in our lives. He tells us that in order for these things to happen, first thing we have to do is acknowledge him. Acknowledge that this is what he's done. Come to that place where we recognize that in my own strength, I don't have the answers. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to fix it. I can't bring you to salvation, but Jesus can. I can't bring you peace, but Jesus promises that I will give you peace. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give, all right? So let not your hearts be troubled nor be afraid. My peace he gives to you. He gives you health. He gives you the fixing up of these beautiful bodies that he's given us, fearfully and wonderfully made. As you mothers know, they were these bodies fearfully and knitted together in the womb, and God knew right from the beginning all about you, even to the joy of the cross. Where would any of us see joy in that? But Jesus looked out and he saw each and every one of you, and he went with joy to that most horrible of deaths for every one of you knit together. I'm going to ask, is anyone in the room here know how many hairs are on the top of your head? Well, some of us have got more, some less, eh, Trev? You know, it's just how it is. Okay? But the thing is, God is that intimate that he knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. He knows exactly all about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows you're coming. He knows you're coming in and you're going out. He knows how your heart aches for your children or how your heart rejoices for your children. I promised Lorraine that I wasn't going to give her a message in there. You know, we're going to slap them up beside the head. We're going to have joy and excitement and things like that. And I see Jesus there at the cross and I can't help but weep. But the great joy that comes from that, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He is the answer to all our problems, to all our prayers, to everything that we have before us. He is the answer to, doesn't matter what it is. He gives us in Psalms, he gives us so many beautiful Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Psalm 139:14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, if you have trouble bringing your prayer life together, Psalms is a great place. I go in the prayer room, Psalm 91 comes up regularly, all right? It's a great one. It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Psalm 51 is another really good one, all right? But I encourage you, just grab hold of them. Actually, read them out. Is that it's a good thing where your tongue confesses what the Lord's put before you. As you go through Psalms, you'll find that David was a man harassed, and then as he continues to go along, he finally comes to this point at the end of the Psalms, where you won't find anything in the last half a dozen Psalms except praise and glory and honor to the Most High God. Because God has, David's realized that God's brought him all this way. And that's like our lives. You know, we've been pulled up out of the miry clay. He's walking us through life. We'll get to a point. You know, there is a point coming where every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It won't be because they're so fearful of God. It will be because they cannot help but fall before him because of his majesty, his glory, his love, his just his glorious being. You know, the early Israelites, they would see the glory of God on the hills, right? Or his glory in the cloud or by the fire at night. But you know what? We've got a personal relationship with him. We are actually, as Christ, crucified with him, but also with faces unveiled, showing the glory of God. That's each one of us in this room, every one of us, all right, delighting in the presence of our beautiful and majestic and amazing God. Is that in Genesis 15:1, he says, "I am your exceedingly great reward." How beautiful is that? He is our exceedingly great reward. There is nothing else that we need, but we do have a role to play. Paul says, discipline your bodies, all right? Take hold of those things that aren't right and start to replace them. We're called to be transformed, not conformed to this world, and I think we heard it here this morning, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. The word, as Christopher mentioned, is held in high esteem before God. Let it wash over you. Let it be part of your life. Let it be everything that you do. Everywhere, it's the answers are in it. All right? Those wayward children, the ones that aren't in the right place. All right? Whatever. God can bring them to the right place. He will bring them to the right place. It is his will that none should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. He tells us that in John and 3 and 14, 15 and 16, he actually repeats it twice in those three verses of John. And he says in there that it's his, well, he doesn't say it's his will. He says that it is his love that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. He goes on in 6, John 6 and verse 40, where he says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him whom I sent." That's his promise. All right? Can we do that? No, we can't. What can we do? We can lift them up. All right? I just want to share something with you. This is, on one side is Rosie's family, on the other side's my family. I have this with me of a morning because, like other families, I've got nephews and nieces, people that are caught up in addictions, things like that. There's nothing I can do in the natural, but I can pray for them. And for every one of them, all Rosie's sisters, nieces, husbands, ex-husbands, we've, like other families, there's some on there that aren't with us anymore. There's nephews and nieces that should still be, things like that. What can we do in my own strength? Grieve for them? Probably. But I do have the privilege of being able to lift everyone to the Lord because he is my help. All right, that is where it comes from. Is when my mum says to me, and I say to her, "Mum, you can't have this little girl in the house because her drug addict friends don't respect who you are. They're just here to get what they can. The devil comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy." What do you do to that little girl? Your mum says, "But she's my granddaughter." They want to look after, that's the mother's heart, is to look after these kids. We can give them guidelines, but I have this next best thing, the greatest thing, the only way to look after them, and that's to pray for them. All right? Do we get well respected or looked after or anything like that? No, not at all. When she comes in and she abuses my wife through the door or something like that, that's, you know, but in my own strength, I can't do anything about that. But I encourage you today, get before God, get on your knees before him for your families, all right, for your children, All right? And we don't have to grieve for them now. Let's be joyful knowing that the Lord's promise is, because he tells us in 1 John 5 and verse 14, if we pray this in the will, right? If we pray according to the Father's will, this will be done. 1 John 5 and verse 14. If we pray according to his will, we already know his will. His will is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. I give you that confidence today. Come before God. Get before him and allow him to be your ever-present help in time of trouble. Second thing is, as we come and we start to lay our lives down, all right, your problems and your challenges, I'm going to give you a hint. Having laid it at the foot of the cross and giving it to Jesus, don't pick it up again. Yeah. Leave it there. All right? He is equipped. We're not. It's really simple. If I asked Trev to walk down here and pick up a big heavy weight, Trev could. All right? If I asked Willie to come over and pick it up, she probably can't. All right? Not equipped. God is, through his son Jesus, is equipped to help and carry our burdens and our problems and our strengths. But how often do we go, ooh, and he's there going, don't, just leave it, don't, pick it up. And what are we doing? We're running back to it. Don't. All right? Grab that scripture that Paul talks about and says, where we discipline ourselves. Grab hold of that and move on to that. So that's just a hint. That was not necessarily in my notes. But it is something that I think will help your lives. All right, because problems come. Give them over to him. Christopher, this might be a bit noisy for a sec. Galatians 2:20. Having given our lives over, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're living here on earth. We're in this fleshly body. There is stuff going on around us, but it is no longer I who live now. I give it all over to Jesus. Accept what he's done for you. Grab hold of the promises that he has. Grab hold of the abundance of him. Do you see God as who he is, as glorious and wonderful? As the pictures have been going up, I don't know whether you've ever come to a point in your life where you drive over, you know, say a range, and you look out and it just grabs you and you go, oh, how amazing is that? And then you think, I'll take a photo. And then you look at the photo and you think, it just doesn't do it justice, does it? But God is like that. He is every day. He is there. If we will just have eyes to see what the Lord is saying, showing us, he is there. You will have these moments where you'll wake up, you'll step out and you'll go, oh, Lord, you're before me. You're here with me. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm with you. Thank you for being with me, Father. That's how God is to be in our lives. That's how he wants to be close to us. He doesn't want to be some far-off picture that's not a true representation, but he wants to be with you, in you, here. I had a vision this morning of the room as it was empty, and that he was just hovering as he did over the deep in the beginning. But our prayer was in the prayer room that he wouldn't just hover today, that he would come and settle into your hearts and actually bring effective change, all right, to lift us up from the miry clay and give us a new joy, a new excitement, a new peace in our lives. And as I say, we will come before God, every man, woman and child, and we'll worship him. Not because we have to, but because we can't help but be compelled by the love that he has for us. And we will just fall on our faces and go, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. I mean, how amazing is that day to come? Yep. Amen, eh? One Timothy 6:17. It's a command. He says, command them to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. How good, how beautiful is that scripture? Is these lives that we're having here today, here on earth, are to be enjoyed. I know the world comes against us. It's bringing stuff. I had to have a yarn with Dennis this morning, didn't we, Dennis? Where we agreed that it shouldn't be the minority commanding what's going on. But guess what? God doesn't care about the minority. He cares about you personally. And he has given a command here. Command them to put their hope in God, who rightly, richly provides us with everything that we need. Does that mean that he's left anything out? Or does that mean everything? All right? So whatever you're going through today, whatever your family might be going through, whatever that wayward child, whatever the good one might be doing, do you know where I really have a bit of a problem? Is in the prodigal son. All right? I'm the eldest son. All right? I've been at home. I've stayed at work. I've done the things. And I've watched that brother go off. And I've watched the other brother go off. And the other brother. And a sister. And I think to myself, come on, Lord. But then when you realise that that is not about us here in the natural. That's us, about us being returned to God. And that's his promise for every one of us in this room today. So take hold of this command. All right? Command them to put their hope in God. That's what I command you to do today. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And then finally, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So having recognized that Jesus gave his life, the first death, an entry point to heaven, God promises, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pastor Julie's message last week, a reverential fear, hallowing the God of all creation. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? Here on earth. Still part of what we're doing today. It is his peace, his glory, his love, all the things that come from God should be and are part of your life today. So take hold of that, all right? Step into his joy. Delight in his creation all around you. Recognize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Delight in the King of all kings and the Lord of lords. And that's my message to you today, is that hopefully, I haven't tried to be too much of a policeman in the room. Hopefully, the joy of the Lord will begin to flow from each one of you as you go out. If Pastor Julie, if it's all right, I have a couple of words for some people. There's Chrissy Violi. I'm going to get it out because I've written them down. I'm not going to trust it to memory. Dangerous thing when I commit it to memory. Chrissy, God's going to bring a new ways for you to express your love for him that's just bubbling out of you. All right? At this point, you just, he's in there just going like that, and you just don't know what to do with it. He's going to bring new ways for you. All right? I don't know what that means, whether he's going to teach you to sing beautifully or whatever it might be. But in order for that to happen, Joe, for you, God promises that he is the God of increase and he is going to grow fruit in abundance in your life. He will work in those obscure areas, the fruit of patience, joy, long-suffering. I know we don't like that one. We'll put it down to self-control. But so that you may move forward together without conflict. For where there is unity, he commands blessing. Debbie, I know she's in the room. Over there, Debbie. God's going to raise up in you a new level of courage, a new confidence in him that will allow you to be an even greater encourager. All right? Got that? So the others aren't in the room, so I'll hold that to when they are. So as this next song comes, we're going to have a time of prayer. Hopefully if there's something that's touched your heart that you might just want to go deeper with God today, I just encourage you that it's not anything to do with me. It's about what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's ministering in this room right now. I encourage you, as the song plays, let it wash over you. If you need to come forward, you know, the front, I don't know why it works, but the anointing's always stronger up here. Yes. All right? If you want to be on your knees at the front of church, that's a great place to be. But outside of that is that we will be shouting you a cup of coffee afterwards. And Pastor Julie's provided ice creams and chocolates and all sorts of nice things. I know I read the scripture, you know, put our hope in God who, you know, richly provides all things. But there is the natural too. And Pastor Julie, you know, she's pretty close to God. So she's provided a lot into the house as well today. But as this song washes over you, just know that God has these beautiful promises for us. He's your families that aren't quite where you want them to be, put them in God's hands. He will bring them to that place that he wants them. All right? And thank you to the team up the back. Thank you to each and every person in this place that's given their time before God today.